Welcome you to the God's Word portion of the worship from Daleville Christian Church. It is good this time of year to focus on the announcement and the fulfillment of the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And it is good for us to celebrate that birth at this time we call Christmas. Hear our affirmation of faith, which we share in each worship service, and this contains two of them together from the letter of the Ephesians as written to the churches in and around the Greek city of Ephesus, chapter 2 and verses 4 through 8, and the same chapter 2 verses 17 through 19. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. He, Jesus, came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. The reading of God's Word for today is from Luke's Gospel in the first chapter, this time, verse 26 through 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the host of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. I begin with a reminder that this season, before Christmas, we are looking at the angels who appear all around and in all of the reports on Jesus' birth. But more importantly, since the angels are messengers of the living God, we at Daleville Christian Church are focused on the words that the angels speak. Deb and I have appreciated the angels that you all are sharing in the sanctuary this season. Many of you have brought precious angels. Angels given as gifts from dear friends. or angels handed down as loving reminders from family members. I know the feeling. My grandmother had a cheap plastic manger scene at her house. I loved and cherished that set for one reason only. It belonged to my grandmother, and every year she brought it out, and she saw it every day in her home at Christmas. I found and bought a bag of plastic manger scene figures on eBay a couple of years ago. Some of the figures still had their original price tags on them. No, they weren't barcodes, for you young ones. It was a 15 and a cent sign. 15 cents for the shepherd figure, just like the one my grandmother had, and I still have. Having said all this, I hesitate with today's topic, the angels, real angels. I have some hesitation because you have shared lovely and precious images of angels, and the Bible does not always show us images of angels as lovely or precious. An excellent example of what I'm talking about are cherubs. Cherubs are often depicted as little angel babies. Delicate, well-fed, rosy-cheeked. And when I say rosy-cheeked, I mean the cheeks on the face, not the cheeks on the bottom. And why do I mention baby bottoms? Because we depict them as cute, naked babies with small or tiny wings. I tried to find out how that ever got started. The best answer I got was the image is based in Greek and Roman art, so it's pagan. I'm not suggesting we throw out our images of cherubs. I mean, let's face it, they are cute. One historian suggested that in Italian Renaissance art, the cherubs represent the omnipresence of God himself. But you will have to be careful. The internet is convinced that cherubs and naked babies with wings are the very same thing. The internet has lost the Bible reference and the Bible connection to cherubs, because in the Bible, cherubs and naked babies with wings are not the same thing. Let's get back to the Bible. Angel is a Bible word meaning messenger, but it isn't the first angel mentioned in the Bible. The first angelic creatures mentioned in the Bible are the cherubs. In Hebrew, the plural word is cherubim. Cherubim is the plural form. Cherub is singular. Cherubs are mentioned first in the Bible, and they are not cute. Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve have sinned against God, so God drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. So these cherubim are armed with a sword, and we can assume the cherubs would cut us down if we attempted to get to the forbidden tree in the garden. That doesn't sound cute to me. Cherubim, the cherubs are also mentioned in the Bible in the commands about building the Ark of the Covenant. Exodus chapter 25, "And thou shalt make two cherubim of gold, of beaten work shalt thou make them in the two ends of the mercy seat." And it's here that the cherubim are described as having wings. Meanwhile, angels are mentioned as angels in Genesis three times. There came two angels, this is Genesis 19, "There came two angels to Sodom at evening, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground." Genesis chapter 28, 12 mentions a ladder full of angels, Jacob's ladder, we call it. But so far in the Bible, the angels are not described as to what they look like or appear to be. At the resurrection, Luke states that the women saw a vision of angels, and Luke described only two men in shining garments. Matthew states his countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. In the Christmas reports in Matthew's book, an angel appears to Joseph in a dream three times. There's a fourth dream, no mention of an angel, but the wise men are told by an angel to go on home and don't go back to Herod's house. Again, no description of what the angels look like. I guess what I'm trying to point out is, although you and I know this is an angel because of the wings, the halo, and it's white in our display here in the sanctuary, maybe angels don't look like this. Hebrews says that you might not know an angel when you see one. Hebrews 13:2. So maybe you will know an angel when you see one, and maybe you won't. One more thing about angels' appearances. As I've mentioned, many Christians today in America do not believe in Satan, and yet most American Christians believe in angels. A majority of Americans believe in angels, Christian or not. Isn't that interesting? More Americans believe in angels than believe in Satan, whether they are Christians or not, but here's the kicker, Satan is an angel. Or at least Jesus mentions them in the same sentence, Satan and his angels. Today's God's word from Luke chapter 1, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee. Since we just read last week, Gabriel went to Zechariah, a priest of the living God, a priest of God's people, the Jews. Gabriel delivered God's word to Zechariah. We can assume that Gabriel is going to deliver God's word to someone else. Verse 27, Mary. And Gabriel states, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." I just want you to notice a difference in Gabriel showing up for Zechariah and Gabriel showing up for Mary. Mary's a woman, not a man, and certainly not a priest of God's people, the Jews. Zechariah was in the temple burning the incense at God's direction, and Zechariah had prayed and may have been praying when Gabriel showed up. Luke does not claim any of that for Mary, although some film interpretations have suggested that Mary was praying or sleeping. But the words Luke shows us from Gabriel, and therefore from God, are closely related. We could even read in today's verses, "Joy to you, you have been favored," or "you are favored. I, Gabriel, am bringing it. The Lord is with you." Now, Mary's response sounds a little odd to us, certainly to me. Many translations state that Mary was troubled at the saying. From what most of us know about Mary, Mary doesn't seem like a person who would be easily troubled by much of anything. Am I right? I mean, she goes right along with this plan to have a child that's not her husband's, and she is traveling for tax purposes in the last weeks of her pregnancy, and when they get to where they're going, there's no place to stay. And Mary, you know, don't read any of Mary's reactions to any of this. Or maybe we could say, well, Mary just hasn't heard the troubling part of what Gabriel has to say yet. Now, there are other translation possibilities besides Mary was troubled and wondered. Mary was startled. Mary was perplexed. Mary was confused. One scholar suggested that Mary was filled with wonderment. Have you ever been filled with wonderment? Maybe you haven't been filled with wonderment because you haven't gotten greetings from an angel. The words troubled have a very negative meaning to me, but the word choices allow that Mary was deeply troubled. I may have to make up my own English word. Mary was bewondered. I believe that I have been bewondered when I was a child. We all know and have read and read Gabriel's words to Mary. I just remind you that Zechariah had prayed for a child. Part of Mary's bewilderment was that she had not had sex and wondered how it was that Gabriel could announce a conception of a child. The answer, of course, is God. The child will be a new creation. A new creation, the only begotten, not made Son of God. The Son of God, Jesus, will have a miraculous conception, but will also have a human family. and will be fully human and will be fully God. Gabriel didn't say it that way, but other verses of the Bible do. When we look at Israel's history, deliverers or leadership figures in Israel's history have always been human, have they not? In the book of Genesis, Joseph, with the many-colored coat, saved his family and saved God's promise, making sure Joseph's family didn't die in the famine, even though one sibling of Joseph's had suggested that they murder Joseph. In the book of Exodus, Moses is used by the Lord God to deliver Israel's children from slavery and delivered them from the Egyptian army. Deborah and Barak delivered Israel from Sisera and the Canaanite army, Judges chapter 4. I could go on. It would be natural then for the nation of Judah to look for a human deliverer from the Romans. But God had bigger plans. The child announced by Gabriel will be Jesus, meaning he will save his people from their sins. Their sins, not saved from the Romans and the sins of the Romans. But God intended to fulfill the promise to Abraham, Genesis chapter 12, "And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." To save the people from their sins and make them a blessing, that will require an act of God. And still, the Lord God has always used human agency to deliver the people. And so Gabriel's announcement about a new creation to Mary, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Americans today, even American Christians, don't much believe in Satan. But are we so certain that we can rescue ourselves from the violence, the poverty, the hunger, and the distress, the warfare, and the depression of this country? Will these also not require an act of God? God working in us by his Holy Spirit? I'm asking questions here. Our affirmations from God's word remind us, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. 2 Corinthians 5, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. We are new creations through Jesus, who himself was a new creation, sent by God to bring us out of the darkness of our own making," with Satan's help, I would add, "bring us out of the darkness into his marvelous light, in order that you and I also become new creations, a new way to be human." As we will take note of later in this season, Jesus was born a baby as we are born. Then his life was threatened at his birth by the evil of our world. Jesus could not rescue us if Jesus was a product of this world that tried to kill him. And Jesus could not rescue us if Jesus was only willing to die for us. Our sin could only be redeemed in the blood that God made in his new creation. We could only trust in a Savior who did die for us. We could not trust in a Savior who only promised to die for us. Jesus went through death as we all must someday die, in order that we might live with God now and forever. New creation, prepared to do the good that God called us to do. I want you to hear the angel's words, a message from God himself, God's promises to Mary and to all of us. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. The Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God, for no word from God will ever fail. Amen.